house.
Over there.
Oh, sorry. Greetings, pals.
Greetings, pals.
Welcome to the podcast, Throwing the Pal.
Frank was sitting, proving a little difficult.
Frank parachuted in.
I'm stuck on my own leg.
He was sitting fine, and he's like, this arrangement isn't going to work. And he started contorting himself around the chair.
You know when someone's just sitting on a chair and then just fall off the chair for no reason? That's kind of what just happened.
This is the podcast, Throwing the Pal. We talk about movies, love it or hate it, we debate it. I'll fix my sitting later. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Today is Christmas. It's Christmas time.
It's Christmas, actually.
Is it Christmas actually now?
Yeah. It's Christmas actually.
Okay, it's Christmas. Merry Christmas.
What film are we doing today, pal?
The best Christmas movie of all time.
Debatable.
Oh, is it?
Is it a Christmas film?
Batman Returns.
No, go. What is it?
Oh, Love Actually.
Love Actually.
Love Actually.
Written and directed by Richard Curtis, starring Hugh Grant and everyone else in the world.
Did you just lead with Hugh Grant and then everyone else?
Yeah, I feel like he's...
You could go Hugh Grant et al, and I think you kind of get it.
Et al.
Yeah, okay.
Et al.
It's British, so... Et al.
I don't really care et al, actually.
Yeah, you know, but what? Et al. Yeah.
All righty, 2003. Mm. Just to clarify, it was 2003. It was. And speaking of 2003 and numbers and such, we rate our films out of 11 because we're kooky.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Have a crack.
Yeah, crack.
Why do we do this out of 11?
Go on, crack.
Oh, okay.
What do we rate out of 11?
There are 11 distinct plot lines in this movie. Can you name them all?
Yes. Okay. Right. Hugh Grant.
All right.
So Jamie.
The Prime Minister.
Okay, Prime Minister.
Yeah. Jamie the Writer.
It's Colin Firth, yes.
Colin Firth.
Keira Knightley, sad, and the three-way love affair. Then yeah,
Andrew Lincoln.
I don't know. I think describing it as a three-way is a bit misleading in this film, but okay, sure. That's three.
Colin's got a big dick.
Son.
And he's got a big knob. Chris Marshall, yes.
The Hobbit.
Martin Freeman and the lovely lady that he's sort of pretending to bone, yeah.
Oh, is there really 11? I'm already out
of gas.
Come
on, we've got five to go.
Oh, shit.
Oh, six to go.
He's not kidding.
Emma Thompson, Snape.
Emma Thompson with Alan Rickman, yes.
The kid with the singer girl.
That's Liam Neeson.
The carer, the sister.
The carer, the sister.
Wants to dance and fuck Carl.
Oh, who's yes, Carl? Laura Linney.
Oh, Laura Linney.
Yes.
Laura Linney.
She's a carer. Two to go.
And a dancer?
Two to go.
She dances with, I don't know, my brain, I'm a quick fire. The
caterer? No.
No, I mean, that's funny. But
okay, so one of them I'll give you as a clue is.
No.
What? All right,
no, I'm done with this game.
Oh. Rockstar.
Bill Nye. That's nine.
Okay. Panicking. Is there actually 11? This is wild. This is the best one you've ever done.
Okay.
Except for this where we tried to guess it. This is bad.
No, because the audience is screaming at us right now. Yeah. The listener is just like, God.
Hey, tell us.
There's two more. We can cut this.
The one I can tell you as a little clue is that he's the smallest part of the movie, but he is in there. And so saying he has a distinct plot line would be a bit misleading, but he is in there. He's the actor you really haven't mentioned. Who shows up and has his own little thing going on? He doesn't.
Oh,
have
Liam Neeson. Oh no, we
no.
I'm sorry.
He doesn't have.
Sorry.
None of that describes Liam Neeson. Yeah,
he's that little guy.
He doesn't have a character name. He shows up. He's almost like a magical creature.
Oh. What?
He's only in like two scenes of the movie.
Magical creature.
Yes, in both times he's very silly, but in one part.
Rowan Atkinson.
That's a distinct one. Rufus, the magical. His name is Rufus, actually.
Magical.
Well, yeah, like he saved.
That was a red. No, that was way off.
He helps the boy at the end by taking his clothes off, sort of.
Okay, what?
And then when he's.
Movie were you watching?
And then when he's doing all the gift wrapping for the accoutrement.
Hang
for,
on.
Alan
hang
Rickman.
On. No. Rewind. Yeah. What kid did he help take their clothes off?
No. Okay, not what I said.
Is that what he
when
said?
When he is taking his jacket off at security at the airport, that allows Thomas Brody Sangster to get through.
Is so, what you said?
No, yes. Okay. I did not say he helped a child take their clothes off.
That's what I heard.
And then number 11 doesn't exist. There's only 10.
Through
the very good.
Thank
nicely
you.
Done.
Well, I all like right. that you were like, people are screaming at us and they're probably screaming, there's only 10. He's lying to you.
Hook, line, and sinker.
You could argue the 11th one is the epilogue at the airport if you really
all
wanted
the
to
airport
say
characters.
That they all come together. At
what a waste of time.
Yeah,
so shout your name if you like this. Shout your name if you like this film.
Tom.
Frank. Of course.
Nah.
Marcus doesn't like it.
Marcus doesn't like it.
Comes Buzz Killington.
Oh, Buzz Aldrin walking on the moon. Do Did we want to go? Was it fake? No one knows.
Up. Really?
Let's not get into that.
The Love Actually episode's really where the hard-hitting takes come out. The moon landing fake.
I think aliens built the pyramids. Okay. I don't know. So give us some scores.
Do we want to start high or low?
Low. Low. Always Marcus. Go low to high.
5.2.
Oh, okay. There's just room for a
pull. We'll get him over the friggin' line, would ya? Give me a score.
I'll go 7.5.
Oh. Ooh,
okay.
I'll go an 8.
Yeah, okay, good. I'd be upset if there wasn't a 10 here somewhere. Like,
I could easily say I would have been a 10 in previous years, but not so much anymore.
God, because my first point is I don't think this has aged well. In certain aspects.
There's so many things that are like, oh, it's so problematic and it's so fat shamey. And yes, all of those things are true, but also the movie is still great. Those two things can exist at the same time, I believe.
I think that's an easy target and that's not where I'm coming from.
It's not the only thing in the movie. There's so with much stuff.
The inappropriate language that Liam Neeson's, like how he speaks to his stepson. I think that's inappropriate.
Which part are you talking about?
Oh, he talks about dating other
women. Is that before or after Rowan Atkinson takes his clothes off?
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson.
When he says we're going to have a root in every room, including yours.
Yeah.
I don't think that's just fun, like, stepdad banter.
Yeah. You say it. Yeah,
hey, listen, different upbringings, but I've had worse. I've had worse conversations.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
With any one of my stepdads.
All right. So, I do think that this movie has a lot of eye-rolly moments, things that are not particularly funny now and that just feel, a little basic and a little, like I always try to think, not this is my constant way of viewing media that's old or 20 or 30 years old, but imagining what like a 15-year-old who had no context for this would think.
Yeah.
And I imagine a lot of the time they'd turn and be like, what the fuck? And you'd be like, yeah, you got to understand. Like,
it was a different time.
This was acceptable, but it kind of was like,
absolutely, it was acceptable. You know? When this came out, it was like, everyone was like, this is the perfect movie.
Yes, kind of. It was still a little polarizing, but you're right. It cemented itself as a Christmas classic virtually immediately. Like, basically the next year, people were like, that's one of the greatest Christmas movies ever. And everyone just kept watching it and have continued to for 20 years.
And the giant ensemble cast and the crossing of storylines and all that sort of like, they're intertwined and they're all connected. That became a thing that people tried to replicate and never did well.
Mostly not.
Except for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and New Year's Day.
Oh, both wonderful films.
Yes, and he's just not that into you. Actually, look at all the good ones we're listing.
Yeah. And The Holiday and just awful.
The Holiday's not quite the same. It's only like four characters who happen to know each other, but I know what you mean. I like The Holiday.
It's like a condensed version.
It's called...
No, I don't like that movie either.
No, I know you don't.
Oh, okay. Really?
It's called Hyperlink Cinema, right? And it was this. It was 21 Grams. It was Crash. It was Traffic. Yes. It was these movies that are
Crash
like
and Traffic.
People kind of know each other. Have you seen either? Incidental.
Crash or Traffic?
No.
Have
I'm
you just
stopping
yes
you
or no,
right there.
Yes
Frank,
or no question.
Give us an answer to the fucking question.
Language. I've seen 21 Grams.
I didn't ask that.
Have I seen Crash or Traffic?
Oh
no,
God,
I haven't.
That was simple.
Let me have fun.
My point is that those two do this very well in terms of structure. This film, to me, I want to drag you two to my side of the fence. I'm determined.
Bring it on, baby.
You could get me
you're
closer.
You're both some pretty.
To what?
Yeah.
You're both some pretty. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. stubborn.
Correct. Okay.
So this will be
turn.
Difficult. Yeah, I know.
When you're on a windy road, you don't really recognize.
Firstly, it's about perception, right? So I think that the masses have just, as you said, very quickly just gravitated to this film and went, I haven't really seen this before. This is great. This is the greatest Christmas film ever. And then, not that social media was really a thing yet at this point.
No,
barely.
But for some reason, it just caught on and everyone was just with this infectious sort of like, Love Actually? Yeah, Love Actually. Yep. And then everyone just, it became a Christmas
this
film.
This poster was fucking everywhere. You couldn't escape the 10 little windows of Emma Thompson and Hugh Grant and Bill Nye.
Because
Bill Nye punching Rowan Atkinson for some reason that's never really.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, it's kind of such a weird bit where you're like, is that going to be in the movie?
He's dancing, I think.
Is he? Oh, I think it was just him punching him. But anyway.
That's funny. But like, I'm with you. I loved this film when I first saw it because I didn't overthink it. And this is sort of a curse, right? Where we get to. But the more I watch this film, and I watch this film on average, once a year.
Hey.
Merry Christmas.
Every Christmas. Yeah, because
it's on Channel 10.
It's this habitual thing where I go, well, we have to kind of watch it. We're doing all the Christmas films. We're making the rounds, as well. But I have so many issues with it every time I watch it. And I kind of get to the end of it and go, ugh. Like,
what are your issues?
Well, okay.
Besides
for
the
one,
fat shaming.
I like, nah.
And
look,
women have no agency.
Agreed. But let's put that aside. Not that I'm discrediting that. That's a very, but I think I've touched on that pretty
let's
heavily.
Let's put the women aside.
With Bridget Jones's Diary, I think
let's talk about.
Shush. With Bridget Jones's Diary, I have the same issue.
Another Richard Curtis.
Same writer. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So I don't want to go on about that. Listen to the app, guys, if you want to know more.
Hey.
Stories. I think you only need five. I think you could literally cut this in half and then you wouldn't have five really actually kind of great stories, very impactful stories, rushed. I want to see more out of the quality of this, not quantity.
Right? I agree, but I don't think the reason it landed was because of the quantity. Huge cast.
Yeah, it's stacked.
Yeah.
But it's an illusion almost. It's a magic
absolutely
trick
it is.
Where people are just like blinding you with star
you get swept up
status.
In all. Yes. It's like you get dragged behind a snowmobile. You're like, oh, God. And every storyline feels kind of the same and kind of on the same trajectory. And
see,
you get to
that
the end
I don't agree with. I think tone is all over the fucking place here. I think that it's so misguided in terms of like, okay. A good example, you've got towards the start of the film, roughly, you've got Liam Neeson having this beautiful scene with Emma Thompson at the dining table.
Yeah, yeah.
And
after the funeral.
And he's grieving.
Yeah.
Very clearly grieving. It's actually a really good scene that you don't kind of expect from Liam Neeson. And I must admit, it's probably the only time in the film where I genuinely kind of believe his performance. I think he's quite weak in this film.
It's not his best work.
No.
Yeah,
it's okay. He's endearing and it's kind of nice with him and Sammy, but it doesn't feel real to me.
I think he's at his best with Sammy.
I don't think a lot of it feels real.
I think
he's
at his best in that scene.
I do like that scene a lot. I like his chemistry with Thomas Brody saying.
I like him. I think his eulogy is really nice.
But then you've got that scene.
Yeah.
And then I think smash cut straight into Colin talking about fucking women. Right? It's really jarring. Now
he's very jarring on the whole.
He is.
For the film.
I love Colin. But to me, it's a different film. Yeah. Also, the realism of him, like, it's so heightened, it's absurd that he goes to America and does the thing he says he's going to do to the letter. He runs into four supermodels at a bar.
Yeah.
Everything plays out exactly as he sort of planned it. He can't even believe it, that it's just kind of silly. So you go back to a grieving man and then you've got this absurd, like, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Right? That's just one example.
Yeah, but Colin's there for the levity and the laugh, right? Like that's meant to be.
See, Hugh Grant adds the laugh that I think you can have in the same film with Emma Thompson.
Yeah, a bit more grounded. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Far more grounded. I think that he adds the beautiful element of comedy that he's so good at doing. Colin Firth and that whole thing, I really like the writer's story. I think it's so rushed that I don't buy into it.
Yeah, I don't love.
You don't
get
a lot of time with him and Aurelia.
And their love connection is not great.
I kind of love it. And it's so rushed that you kind of just go, oh, yeah.
The Aurelia is the ship that's lost in Fool's Gold.
Wow.
I swear to God, Frank.
I almost cared.
I swear to God.
Did you know that?
You can't stop bringing up Fool's Gold.
Almost any time you
can. What a beautiful name.
There is.
I've hijacked this conversation, but just bear with me because.
No, I love your point. Keep going.
Sorry. Kate Hudson is getting residual checks for Fool's Gold every few weeks. Like, who the fuck is still renting this out on iTunes week to week? Just Frank.
Just buy it, Frank.
No, I'll rent it every time. Support
it's so
that
sad.
Film. Sorry,
another jarring moment, which feels like a Monty Python sketch, is Rowan Atkinson with the present. I fucking hate that scene to no end. Hate it. I get visibly angry when it's on.
Do you hate it because
I love Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I love Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman looks uncomfortable as an actor. He doesn't look right in the scene. He doesn't look like he wants to do this.
He's meant to be uncomfortable. He's buying a...
Not in the way that we...
You think Alan Rickman is uncomfortable.
I think that they've written the scene and they've got Rowan Atkinson doing a bit of improv and whatever and just dragging out. And Alan's just like... They're just like, just react naturally to what Rowan's doing. He's just going to drag it out and you have to be uncomfortable and want to get out of there. And I think it feels... like he's doing a completely different genre of film that he doesn't want to be doing. For the performance that he's been given up until this point, it's weird.
Yeah, the tone thing absolutely makes sense to me, and I agree because it's so up and down.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I don't like that scene still. I agree
in a different film.
Yeah, I know, but...
I agree with you. I like the scene. Different film. Like,
but there's six different films in this.
Yeah, but then match the tone. Because I don't like it. There's a good roller coaster and a bad roller coaster when it comes to sort of films and like ups and downs and highs and lows and levels. This just feels like it's almost like you've got too many writers with too many ideas all trying to merge their stories.
One writer, one idea.
Exactly. Yeah. So like it's strange, I don't know how the fuck his brain works.
He apparently had like two or three films he was considering and then was like, why don't I just and like smush
Steve,
together.
That checks out.
It does. The part with Chris Marshall Colin at the wedding where he's talking to the woman trying to chat her up and it turns out
that's
the caterer.
Great dialogue.
Apparently that's from Four Weddings and a Funeral and he cut it from that. And then he's like, oh, I should put that in another movie.
Yeah, it was written for Hugh Grant.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of things like that feel
that
smushed
exchange.
Together. It feels incredibly like awkward and ungainly and Frankensteinian. There's something about that I still find charming. Even as I register it a lot more now, the older I get. Like you say, when I was younger, I didn't think about it. I was just kind of like, this is a film that is doing nothing but it's that, it's fucking loathe to reference this, but Barney from How I Met Your Mother, where he's like, a good mix should not be rise and falls. It should just be all rise. And it's like, that's what Richard Curtis was doing. He was like,
how do you know that reference?
All this, I watched a lot of How I Met Your Mother when I was younger. he's just doing like the, what if it's all up here?
Yeah, what
it's,
if it's
I'm,
all
I'm skipping the boring parts or the stitched together parts, the transition scenes in a rom-com, and it's all the heightened moments put together, right?
Yeah, but none of it feels earned is the problem.
Yeah,
hey,
you're right. You miss things that don't make any sense. I've heard the criticism of this movie that I don't necessarily agree with because it's a different movie to that. But people go, if you took every plot in this film, let's say the Bill Nye plot, and you just ran those scenes one after another, it's like 12 minutes, 15 minutes.
Oh, it's a mini short.
And you just go, well, that makes no sense. There's no rise and fall in that. It's just a guy who wants to be number one and then he is. And then he goes and gets drunk with his manager. There's no plot there. I'm like, of course there isn't. That's why it's stretched and scattered across a film with 10 other ones because they have to give the rise and fall.
See, my...
That could be a film on its own. They could all be films on their own.
Gun to head, if you'd ask me what the most romantic story in this whole film is...
Are you going to say him?
It's that.
I
No, please.
I'm sorry. That's very funny. I wasn't expecting that.
I think that is the most romantic... And sincere moment in the whole film. Because this is not a rom-com. This is not a romance film. This is a film about dysfunctional relationships.
Every you can argue most rom-coms are.
Yeah. Now, there's levels to that because, of course, you've got Martin Freeman's arc, for example, where it's just really sweet, but it's just got a punchy sort of like...
It's got a joke that, oh, they do fake sex scenes together.
But it's really cute.
I love everything about them.
The criticism I've read online of that one is like, oh, they're stand-ins for porn movies and that doesn't even exist. It's like, no, they're not. They're stand-ins for a real movie and they're doing the lighting for love scenes.
Get over it.
Funny to think that it's not – because when I was younger, I had it explained to me they're body doubles.
Yeah.
So they're going to film them and then they're going to like obviously have the actors' faces and they'll either superimpose or they'll just cheat it with lighting, whatever. But no, the way it is, it's like we're going to get the other actors in a sec. We just need to know what this room's going to look like with nipples and balls and butts.
That's
so
it.
Can you guys act it out?
Skin
I really never got that when I was younger. I'm like, that's such an interesting thing to consider that it's like you guys, even your bodies aren't going to be in the movie.
Yeah.
You're just kind of the props we have. You're like the warm-up act before the actual
and
show.
And you never see the actual porn stars.
Well, it's not porn. It's probably just a...
Well,
I mean,
it's a rom-com.
It might be. It could be porn. I guess we never get established whether it's...
I think based off of the actions that they're providing, it's not like it's going to be a art house.
Could be blue is the warmest color.
Okay. Well,
it's probably
anyway, we digress.
Yeah. Again, people hang on to this. It's like, oh, that's unrealistic. It's like, so is Liam Neeson dating Claudia Schiffer. Like,
Is Colin going overseas and things happening exactly the way he said they were going to.
So
I like that.
The Prime Minister going door to door. And people go, wait, are you the Prime Minister? Yes, of course he's the Prime Minister.
Yes.
You should know that. Are you here to sing carols? Oh, please, sir, please.
Man, she's
good
so
King Wenceslas yeah. looked out on the feast of Stephen. Oh, brightly shone the funniest moment of the movie is Hugh Grant's eyes when that guy starts singing. He's like, what the fuck? Like, that voice. Is so funny.
Beautiful timbre.
There's some incredible stories in this. Now, back on the manager, though.
Go on.
Obviously, the payoff for that is him just being like, I don't know how to communicate this to you any other way and just saying that I could be right now, you know, nipple deep in Elton John groupies, but here I am with you, you fat bastard. I kind of love you. You're my best mate. And that to me was beautiful. It's the moment in the film, other than Emma Thompson crying, let's get to that.
We will.
That's the moment in the film where I get the warm and fuzzies and I kind of well up a little bit.
It's beautiful.
It is touching.
Because he can't quite put it into words either. And he's like, it's not embarrassment, but he just doesn't want to say exactly.
Well,
what
it's of a time and he's an older rock star. So he's like, he can't say anything that's like affectionate towards another man.
No.
Because that'd be gay, which is like a joke in itself, which is a. It's a problem that had to be the case, but it's like
that's a sincere,
it's still so heartwarming. It's so sincere.
Being able to tell your best mate that you love him, takes a lot.
It's a terrible mistake, but you turn out to be the fucking love of my life.
Yeah,
is a really lovely kind of way of putting that.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly, it's also Bill Nye.
Yeah,
what a like an incredible performance.
Unbelievable.
When I was a kid, I'd never seen him in anything else.
Mm.
He made total sense to me as an aging rock star. I was like, "Yep, checks out." And now I'm like. What weird casting, but kind of great. I just thought that's what he was. I thought he was this stoner,
well, they were planning to cast like
someone,
Mick Jagger,
anyone
or,
else.
Yeah,
and
an
then
actual rock star.
Someone, Richard Curtis apparently said to someone, I want you to give me a choice that I would never pick that would still work. And they went, Bill Nye. And he's like, that's a fucking great idea.
Great show.
And then you see anything else he does, and he tends to be quite an intelligent, quiet, austere man. Even in
except
films.
Except for The Boat That Rocked. Which is playing the same.
Well, The Boat That Rocked, he's doing something similar. But even in the Shaun of the Dead Hot Fuzz stuff, he's kind of doing a little bit more. Like, he's a lot sterner as Philip, the stepdad in Shaun of the Dead, which I got to rewatch again
until
recently.
He's a zombie.
Until he's a zombie. And in Hot Fuzz, he's like, you're beginning to make us look bad. Like, he's doing that very toffee, which is great. But he's in Living from a couple of years ago. He's in the Girl from the Cafe, which is the Richard Curtis TV movie.
For whatever you want to say about Bill Nye, he's so unique.
Yeah.
So true.
But it's such a, this is not emblematic for me of almost any other performance he gives. Mm. I agree, kind of The Boat That Rocked.
He's done a few, but this would have been the first because that Boat That Rocked was like 6 years after that.
Yeah.
Now we've got Alan Rickman and Emma Thompson, which is arguably one of the most devastating storylines in this whole film, I think. Mm. And Emma Thompson crying in that scene is just like.
She's listening to Tony Mitchell.
Okay. All right. So I made the mistake. I said Tony Mitchell. It's Joni Mitchell. I honestly think at whatever level, most people would have a reaction to that scene.
You can't.
At whatever level.
You can't not.
It gets me every time without fail. I'm sure Tom's a blubbering mess every time.
You know, weirdly, it's not a scene that I thought about a lot when I was younger, and the time I rewatched it recently was with Kath and Mum when she was up for the weekend, and that scene started, and my mum like grabbed me and was like, "I can never handle this." And I was like, "You know, this is not something that registered for me as a kid as much." I was like, "Oh, that's sad," and I just kind of moved on a little. And watching it this time, I haven't seen this movie in like 15 years, and I was like, "Oh shit, this is a really impactful, sad moment." Yeah, it touched me. It was very stirring. And obviously I love that song as well, which I hadn't heard at that time. Mm. And now, you know, it's a really devastating thing to imagine the film taking the aspects of a rom-com or the aspects of this sort of dynamic that you don't normally see fleshed out when so much of the rest of it is silly. Mm. I can't really think of another, that's not true. There is one other moment in the film that's similar, which is Laura Linney and her brother, which I know
you
hate, Frank.
I don't like this either.
I like it.
Terrible.
I think those moments totally work, and actually that moves me more than Emma Thompson.
I've tried. I don't know whether it's just her really jarring American accent in it.
It's so strange that she's American in
it.
But
or,
I do like it.
Do you know what I found interesting?
She irritates me.
Every time watching it until I watched it this week and I was moved by Laura Linney.
So it got you this time.
It got me this time. The scene in the hospital where she goes to see her brother, less so when he goes to hit her, it looks so fake, it's so staged. But the scene before that where she gets the phone calls And she's like, don't make me do that. Don't. Okay, of course I'll come in. And like she caves and she gives up her happiness to go in. I go.
It's never landed with me. It's never landed.
It got me this time. I don't know
Interesting.
Why.
Carl's so sweet.
He's really See, that's surprisingly nice. I didn't think he, again, he hadn't registered for me before, but he's actually, he plays that scene
He's
really
like a
well.
Model. He basically hadn't done anything. Weirdly, this movie presaged a lot of big actors, even in small roles going forward. He's the king of fucking wherever.
Oh, 300.
In 300. He's Prince Xerxes.
Persia. Yeah.
What the fuck? Like that guy goes on to be in that movie. It's so weird. Mm. But he's really kind. And it's almost so kind that you'd think it was unrealistic, but it serves the scene when you know they're not going to hook up.
Just,
when it's like, oh, he's so good.
It
he's
kind
so
of
gentle.
Frustrates me because they have the confidence is there. They show they have the confidence to take a pretty quick leap with each other. They're all very obviously into each other. I just don't buy their lack of commitment to what it is they clearly both very much want.
Do you wish there was a third or an extra scene that was like
this again?
Here
this
they
is
are
a,
getting
this
coffee
problematic
or here
because
they
it's rushed. Yeah. Like you could have.
You
I don't care
time.
If you don't get a resolution necessarily, although you kind of need it. You want those two to end up together or something. Or I just don't. I don't feel any payoff from her just being like, I've sacrificed everything for my brother and therefore that's it. That's my life.
Well, do you know what is strange is the end of the movie, right, is everyone coming out of the airport gate.
Yeah.
You know, four or five storylines coming out and she's not there.
Yeah.
Why not? Like everyone else sort of gets that cheesy payoff.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant gets mounted by his girlfriend even though he's the prime minister and she runs in front of his Secret Service.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I'd love to see Secret Service just throw it.
Take
down.
It.
just not.
Take it.
Kind of funny. Get out of here. But like, yeah, I detest that storyline. Now, talking about detesting something, I want to talk about Keira Knightley and Andrew Lincoln and that storyline. That I hate that worse.
I look quite pretty. Worse.
Not only does Andrew Lincoln, Keira Knightley's insufferable. Right in this film,
insufferable.
She's
fine.
No,
it's like one of her first movies. She's 17. She's just having
a. Don't make me feel guilty because of her age. She's insufferable.
She's just a kid learning
the
to act.
The story itself is horrid.
Story itself
Nothing
is
to,
bad. Story
Andrew
is
Lincoln
bad.
Gives the one of the worst improvised performances I've ever seen in a film.
Improvised performances?
Yeah, well, I reckon.
Oh, and he's walking down the street.
Yeah, it's literally he leaves the apartment after she's seen the wedding video and has this epiphany. He's like, well, okay, so I've got to lunch and anyway, help yourself out. Okay, bye, and bail.
It's a self-preservation
It's a self-preservation. He's so handsy and uncomfortable and awkward and I get it, but I don't buy it.
He's not Hugh Grant, so he can't do that.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't land. It's just bad acting. I'm going to just say it plainly.
I think it is too.
And then they're like, right, we need a scene where you leave the apartment. We're going to play.
And it's Dido.
Dido.
I won't sleep. I can't breathe.
Oh, God.
Wow.
You too.
Occasionally.
That was amazing.
Every now and then.
Wow. But he has to work through it and it just sucks.
Shadow boxes for no good reason.
Yeah, and then it's walking
and
by
he
taps
hits
thing.
The ground at one point. He's like, ugh! And some poor guy with it's his shopping. Like, the fuck?
It's so stupid.
Stupid. Cut
and
it.
He, and he
cut it.
He's holding
cut
him.
It, cut,
he,
it.
Cut it. Cut that entire storyline. Or make her not his best friend's wife. Because let's talk about it. The cue card Bob Dylan scene with
bullshit.
The, but bullshit. That scene, and I'm sorry to do this.
No. Wrong.
In a vacuum, if that's not his best friend's wife, that's a good scene.
I think that scene works. I'm aware of everything surrounding it.
If that's
it.
Anyone's wife, that's bad.
Absolutely.
I don't care if it's best friend.
There's
but that
no...
scene. No.
The I've, scene is good.
I
it's
have
my same issue with Pretty Woman. It's my same issue with Runaway Bride. It's the same issue with any of those films that have these problematic protagonists where they're actually bad people.
Yeah.
Just bad people.
But again,
you can't
we've talked
it.
About this with Bridget Jones where it's like rom-coms shouldn't be beholden to different rules than sci-fi films or action films where it's like most people are bad people in movies but we forgive them because we're caught up in the dynamic and the complexities of who they are, right? Yeah. You could take almost any film and be like morally that person doesn't stand up to scratch or they're not be held to a good standard.
Yeah, Scarface,
I know what you're saying that – because romantic comedies are meant to be a little bit more slice of life and they don't have that extreme setting or those extreme circumstances, we are meant to be like, if I knew this guy, I'd be like, mate, what the fuck are you doing? I have had in experiences in my life and people I know in romantic
comedies. How many times have you done this card scene?
I mean, I'm like not this year
I'm
at least.
Sorry,
like,
but you're Andrew Lincoln, yeah. Right? This is your plan. You've
first
gone
of all,
to the extent of
rude.
Drawn up these cue cards. What's rude?
You call me Andrew
I think
Lincoln.
He's pretty good looking at this.
No, he's great looking.
Honestly.
He does his cue cards.
Yeah.
He turns up with carol music. His plan.
Sorry, just quickly. The carol music has music in it. Carol is an a cappella. Just get some a cappella music,
idiot. Like,
nothing get Anna
out.
Kendrick
give him a
and
quid and tell him to piss off. And then after they don't, surely he'd be like, what the fuck? And he'd go downstairs. Why?
But also, what if he answered the fucking door?
He's got different cue cards.
Yeah.
Could you get Kira, please? Yeah.
my point is, it's the dumbest. None of it makes sense.
No, that's absolutely
fair.
He
could turn up at any point. He could just literally come to the door and go.
He could have like, he knows his best friend. Like, for safety, he could be like, oh, he's out at the pub. I know that. But the scene in a vacuum works.
I agree.
It's endearing. It's comedy. It's beautiful. To me, you are perfect. It's a cute line. I'm sorry. It's wrong. And in the context of the actual story, it's bad.
No one should behave this way in real life.
Yes.
And what I was going to say before is that people I know, and maybe myself when I was a teenager or even, have done things where people are like, I have a feeling about someone, and even though it would be at best really inconvenient and at worst morally reprehensible to tell them, I'm gonna, because my feelings are important and this is the narrative. And people watch movies like this and it reinforces that. And you shouldn't. Don't do it. Like, if you have a friend who's married and you think you should be like, nah, I've got to tell his wife that I love her, that's a fucking bad idea.
Don't do it.
But it kind of works in the movie. I think it's a good scene. Rom-com.
But then immediately afterwards it doesn't. When he walks away and he's like, that's enough. A weird line, but then she comes out and kisses him, and I go, why?
It's a tiny little
also
chase.
Terrible.
Yes, I know. It's like, it's
chase. Oh, is it Tom?
Yeah, is it Tom?
So let me get my kissometer out and check.
Let's ask what the virgin thinks.
I think the only... if I'm going to compliment a micro minute of their arc, maybe two. I'll be nice here. It's when he shows the sign of the aged mummy and she giggles, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's cute. I like that.
It also looks a lot like her.
Yeah, it does. I can't tell which is which. And then he gives this. It's the only thing that I've seen him do in the film where I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Because it felt real. Was when he kind of finishes the cue card thing and looks at her and just goes and gives her a double thumbs up.
Yeah.
Like signing off. Like, okay, that's all I got for you.
I guess you could almost justify that he feels he owes her an explanation now she's seen the tape. Like, he wouldn't have done this if she weren't in a situation where she's like, why do you have that tape of me? You just like,
you
this
hate, could you have hate gone. Me,
I mean,
right?
The tape is weird. People don't talk about the tape. People always talk about the Bob Dylan card scene. But to me, I'm like, so what, are you just cranking it to this tape all the time, man? Like, that's weird.
Yeah,
that
so he's like, I can't find it.
All
it's
of it's
right
weird.
Here on this shelf.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Strange, all in very weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with the fact that, like, I'm sure you do, Frank. You're just like, well, this works. So what do I do with that? It works. I'm not going to lie and say it doesn't, right? Richard Curtis has said, I don't like that scene and I will
Andrew
take
Lincoln
it out.
Has said that. Yeah.
Yes. And it's like, great. But you
we
guys
all know,
did
we
it.
All know it's not actually a good thing to do. But this, again, the scene in brackets by itself, cool.
I think
good.
So.
The choir singing at the church is pretty cool.
Shocking.
Oh, really? You don't like it?
Where did they come from? You don't recognize these. Who are they?
They're not really playing their instruments.
No.
Which they're not.
The
I actually find that very
pop
frustrating.
Up. Lucy pointed out the saxophones pop up and French horn comes out. And it's like, guys.
See? There
get
you
it
go.
Right.
5.1.
And the singer's like, nothing you can say can't be done. And you're like,
see,
who's this guy?
I don't know. I guess he's some British
he's
singer.
Dead.
That's what we said. No?
He's an actor
that's
and he's dead. Rest in peace.
Oh, wow. That's sad.
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked about a lot of different parts of it. Is there a major part we have? We've gotten into the album.
You know the best.
Rickman
the best
Thompson.
Bit.
Go
everyone's
on.
Like, "This is so dumb." Hugh Grant's dance.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fantastic.
He didn't want to do it.
No, he was like, "Fuck this."
The Prime Minister wouldn't do it.
The
Prime Minister
wouldn't do. He's the grumpiest man in the world. Like, of course.
No, he's not.
Hugh Grant.
You are.
Hugh Grant is the grumpiest human being alive.
He's pretty grumpy.
He's not that grumpy.
He's pretty grumpy.
He's notoriously a man who's just like, no, basically an asshole.
You've never
met him. And now I'm old enough to be one publicly, so here we go.
Anyway, that dance scene's hilarious. And he turns around and goes, right. And he just goes back to talking. It's just great. He is so... I know we've said this a thousand times.
It's my least favorite part of Hugh Grant's arc.
Really?
I'd probably agree with that. But really? I don't hate it. I'm just like, yeah. Oh, the dance, it's cute. Like, I don't really think much.
I always go.
But if I'm going back to my initial argument of tone, that to me is too much of a jump for what we've seen so far.
It's weird because like he's just come off the well, Britain's going to stand up to bullies, being America. David Beckham's right foot,
which is actually a really good scene. Billy Bob is perfectly cast as the American
as
president.
As bad Santa. Oh, sorry.
Bad Santa.
But he's a very good sleazy American president. Like he's
which is funny because it's 2003 and Hugh Grant is obviously Tony Blair, but Billy Bob's not George Bush. He's like Bill Clinton.
No,
he's
Hang on. He's the British perception of an American president.
I agree. And he's almost, if you were watching this movie in a vacuum, 15 years old, you didn't know any of these actors, you'd be like, that's a British man overdoing an American accent because he's enunciating so much. Mm. You're like, that is what British people think Americans are. But no, it's just Billy Bob.
Yeah.
I like his performance a lot, but it's just funny that he didn't come in and go, well, howdy there. I'm from Texas. I can't do a George Bush. But like, he didn't come in and act like a doofus. He's like, I'm a slick, smooth, like libidinous Bill Clinton type. Like that's what he was going for.
I do not have sexual relations.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I could have done it.
It is kind of hilarious.
Just don't tell Hillary, okay?
I'm not even playing this thing.
Oh, he plays sax. Get him in the wedding scene.
He plays sax.
Do you know who I feel bad for?
Go on.
I don't know how to say her name. It's Heike Makatsch. Who plays Mia, the temptress.
Oh, sure, the femme fatale.
Start that again. You feel sorry for her?
The actress.
Oh, do tell.
Oh, it's such a crap role.
It's an unforgiving role. She has to do,
and this is for the listener,
terrifying.
This move.
Spread leg stuff.
Do the fatal attraction. Do the, what's it called?
The cross.
Oh, yes. I know
do
what you
something
mean.
That's a little
is that
bit
basic
like
instinct?
Basic instinct.
Yeah.
Just do swim fan.
It's so funny that Alan Rickman has no game in this.
Why is she hitting on him?
When she's like, you know, I'll be under the mistletoe or whatever. You can have anything you want with me. He's like, all right, so what do you want?
Do
you want some staplers or stationery? Like, bro, what the fuck? Yeah. She wants to fuck you.
You don't give him any line that makes him, he's charismatic. He's crap in this movie. He's so nerdy.
His character is crap. Saying, and I agree, the line where he says to Laura Linney, and how long have you been in love with Carl? And she says, how long? And she goes, does everyone know?
Yes.
Do you think he knows?
Yeah. Yes.
Just does the yes, the two different directions.
I hate that scene. Because what kind of workplace is this?
Look, it's all a bit of slap and tickle stuff that we spoke about with Bridget Jones, where it's like, this is inappropriate.
Yeah.
Deeply inappropriate.
The CEO
but
is like, being
I like, guess, ha ha ha. It's just on the cusp when these things could still be seen as charming.
Yes.
And not like, we need to talk to HR about
we don't
this.
Think about the reality, do we? It's just Alan Rickman having a nice scene with Laura Linney where she gets to go, well, I guess 3 years, 2 hours, and 16 minutes.
And I think the fat shamey stuff goes in there as well, where probably literally like 4 years later, people would have gone like, it's not even – if the joke is people are calling her fat but she's not, that's not that funny.
Yeah.
And if the joke is she's fat, that's mean. So there's no good version of
it's
it.
It's bad on both fronts.
Yes.
What is bad is did you hear – because I watched this with subtitles, thanks, Tom – the end where she jumps – because you watch all the movies with subtitles. And
I was like, I don't know why I got to thank you
I'm
there.
Paying homage.
Oh, yeah, it's a good idea.
We have a child now, so we have to watch things quietly usually. Mm. Okay. She jumps on Hugh Grant at the airport and he goes, oh, a bit heavy, aren't you? I had never caught that
line.
He
says, God, you're heavy.
And
it's the only line that I'm like, that's almost endearing between a couple. I know. I said the same thing to Kath. I'm like, that's the best version of that.
But for the
where
for
she'd
the,
be like, shut your face sort of thing.
But all movie, he's been like, would we say fat? Would we say chunky?
Would we say?
It's like know? He's always been defending her. And then
I don't want to argue the point here, but I guess it is an endearing thing, like you say.
It's between a couple.
It's a comfort
safe
thing.
Space situation. Yes. But
whereas you've got Aurelia's sister who's Miss Dunkin' Donuts, whatever, like that whole line.
Like
it's
immediately.
Fucked.
Aurelia's like, if you saw my sister, you'd understand why. Like I don't eat whatever that he was going to give her or something. Yeah. The fact that Bill Nye's constantly calling his manager Chubbs.
Yeah.
You're just like, yeah, it's really. This
he's
is,
got a real, th- he's a real fat phobic.
I mean, but it was. Richard. This was Kate Moss. This was Naomi Campbell. This was like, this was, as we were saying, saying about Bridget Jones, people would have looked at, I wish I could remember her name, Martine McCutcheon, whoever plays...
Yeah, McCutcheon.
Yeah, Martine McCutcheon, who plays Natalie, who's one of the only big roles in the film who didn't really go on to do anything afterwards. I think she was a singer and whatnot, but she, you know, would have been seen as like, oh, well, she's not stick thin like the models of the current sort of
zeitgeist. It's probably just because she has like high cheekbones. And
literally it.
Like... That's it.
She was my two formative crushes were in this film, and it was such an unusual time for me.
Hugh Grant and Colin Firth, me too.
Her, I had the biggest crush on her when I first watched this movie. I was like, she's. I was 10.
Yeah, sorry.
She's beautiful. Who do you think I'm going to say is my second one?
Aurelia.
No. Although I think she's gorgeous.
Keira Knightley.
No, the 10-year-old girl. Because I was 10 at the time.
Oh,
so I was just like, once she was revealed as the singer, I was like, also have a crush on her.
Fun fact about
her. Very weird that I have a crush on these women who are 15 years apart and I'm 10.
Do you know they had to ask, she's so such a good singer.
Yeah.
They had to ask her to tone it back and sound like a 10-year-old or whatever she's
been. They were like, it's a bit unrealistic how well you're killing
this. Yeah, you need to sound a bit more shit.
I wish they had as well.
I know, right?
She went on to voice Marceline the Vampire Queen in Adventure Time. She's had a very successful voice acting career. She's great.
No shit.
Yeah, yeah. She's really good. And she sings a lot in that as well.
Fun fact about the opening scene too, the airport montage. Where?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that took them a week, maybe two, to film that. Because they genuinely just couldn't catch people being happy at the airport.
I was going to say, surely because they kept being like, oh, this will take
people
2 hours, people
rush,
hug
and
love. And
at Heathrow,
people are
in such a rush and it's mad there. Like, they couldn't find it. So they just had to scour the place.
Kind of sad.
Now, on top
of
that.
It's so true, though. You'd be like, are people really this happy or excited? Normally, you're just like, let's get in the car and we'll say, let's get the fuck out of here, right?
Yeah, the stress overwhelms the emotion.
Problematic, too, because this is 2003.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
No, don't bring it up. Don't worry about it.
Well, we kind of got it, right?
It's in the script. Narration.
So at the end of the film, we've got a kid just bailing through Heathrow, getting through security. This is 2 years post 9/11.
As is mentioned in the opening narration of the film.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a lot of problems with that, with all of it.
Kath had forgotten. And he goes, when the planes hit the towers, and she was like, pause.
Yeah.
What did he just say at the beginning of this rom-com? I'm like, you have to remember, everyone was still thinking about it. It was only 2 years.
And also you see an airport, you go, oh.
I think
but
people went,
that
that's
in
a perfectly...
film.
Yeah, but I think people were just like, that's a perfectly natural thing to say in 2003. That
also,
is
if
totally
you're going to release it in America, you need to like pay homage or like you need to honour 2003.
But 20 years later,
than having
people...
a kid getting through security unchecked.
But I know we keep saying this, but a 15-year-old watching this today would be like, I can't believe he just made a 9/11 reference. Like, what is this movie?
Yeah,
the kid going through, you know, with running through security is crazy.
Also, then she backtracks off the plane.
Yeah, comes all the way back.
To give him a kiss. It took him forever to get there.
Yeah.
Logistically, it's not great.
Hey, there's an issue with that.
That's my favorite plot in the movie, without a doubt.
Is it?
Yeah,
easily. That's the one that moved me the most as a kid because I felt I was him. I'm like, that's my age range. I'm 10, I'm 11. That's the kid I like. And even now when I watch it, I'm like, him just having that, the sweetness and the innocence of that love, where he's like, I just want to tell a girl I love her. That's it. I want to let her know.
What about the drumming?
His drumming.
Well, yeah, what's the problem with drumming?
I like that when he's drumming and he does this, is that the snare? What would that be that he's meant to be hitting? Or is that the crash? If he's drumming like this, you're a drummer.
No, but keep trying.
What's the, is that the tom? Is it the, is it
Frank,
the,
is I it, wish I could
is
hit
it the
tom.
Frank,
in terms
is it
of
the kettlebell?
In terms of percentage, how much of it's right?
What you hear and what you see is 100% right.
Oh, yep.
What he's, I think there's one crash that you don't hear. Anyway. It's bad. The groove is so bad.
Yeah. Right.
But he's a kid who just wants to play drums, which I think is right. And you like the bit where he is drumming and he stops drumming and he's just hitting the hi-hat and not hitting
the snare. And does this and you don't hear it.
Yeah.
That's so good.
But I hate that because it sounds so bad.
It's also weird that that kid is, what, 25 at the time of filming this?
I think he's 45.
Yeah, 45.
What are you talking about? He's a little boy.
He's old as fuck.
What are you talking about?
He might be 62.
He's actually a little boy, okay? That's mine.
Yeah. Him and Keira Knightley.
Something's not checking out because he still looks like that,
he does.
Yeah.
I love him. I love that he's gone on to have a proper career. He was in like the Queen's Gambit. He was in Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Right? He was JoJo, I think.
Yeah.
He's great. He's great.
Here's the thing. I'm giving this, what did I say?
5.2.
I think because the highs in this film are really high. Like, they're great. There's some really good highs, and then the lows are just woeful. And
I don't
feel
the lows are that
low. To me, they are. Like, really, I could do without. again, look, this is all sort of subjective, right, or objective, but this is what we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
I would love to cut half this film and then re-add the same amount of time back with the stories that matter. And I would enjoy this film to no end. I need more out of it, and it would feel more like a Christmas rom-com to me with dysfunctional relationships still. Obviously, you're keeping Emma Thompson and Alan Rickman, but like,
yeah,
just some of the filler shit just needs to be gone, or it's just like, yeah, it's a stacked cast. Doesn't mean they're good. Like, not everyone's – it's hit or miss for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm overwhelmed by it, and I sort of went in with the intention to dislike it, and I was like, I can't.
How much did you watch it as a kid?
On average?
Yeah.
Once every 3 years.
Once every three?
Not that frequently.
So I watch it every Christmas without fail.
From 2003 to 2010, I said 15 years, but it's probably like been 12 or 13 since I last watched it. So maybe 2003 to 2010 or 11, I watched it every Christmas. Mm-hmm. Probably even a couple of Christmases watched it twice. Like one of those things you watch it December 20th and then you're like, oh, fuck it, and you watch it December 25th. So I've seen it like a dozen times. Mm. Hadn't seen it in a long time. It used to just work like effortlessly. I was like, yeah, this is a fact of life. Love Actually is a great movie.
Yeah.
And watching it now, it's like a reminder of an ex that I'm like, whoa, we were bad for each other. And we didn't notice it because we just kept doubling down. And then once we got distance, we were like, that's right, this is why we didn't work. But I still have the memories and I still have a lot of affection for them. I'm right in between you guys, which is, I think, a nice place to be, where I don't think the highs are that high, but I don't really find many lows in this movie. I find it at a very comfortable cruising altitude, watching it now for the first time in over a decade, where I'm like, yeah, this is just a nice watch. It's an ambient, easy Christmas movie. None of it, parts of it make me go, oh, but almost I'm charmed by them a little. Mm-hmm. And no individual storyline doesn't work. I like the Laura Linney. I really like the Laura Linney stuff. I like the Chris Marshall going to America stuff. I like the Alan Rickman and Emma Thompson. I like Liam Neeson. I like Colin Firth. I like Hugh Grant.
He can name all 10 just like
I
that.
I can name all 10 just about. I actually love the Martin Freeman. And I can't remember that actress's name. When they go to kiss
just
and she
Judy,
kisses him and she
Joanna
says,
Page.
All
Joanna
I want
Page.
For Christmas is you. And he goes, ha-ha! Like that's...
And he goes, oh, right.
Yes.
Yes.
Very cute. Very cute.
Wish there was more of that. I just want to quickly shout out the scene where they're all about to go to the Christmas pageant and he's picking up, what's her name?
Oh, God. Natalie?
Natalie.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant's Natalie. And all the family and the mum's like, well, I did work. There's 8 arms is a lot.
It's a lot, David. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. And then they get in the car, hilarious, with the kid. And they're about to confess their love, right? And the boy in the octopus suit just sitting there in the middle, not doing anything. And it's like, well, I really think about you a lot. We're here!
Oh, wow. It really was just around the corner.
In the middle of a sentence.
It's very funny.
The timing of that is perfection.
And if you watch him that whole scene, yeah, his face doesn't move.
No,
he's
not
just
at
sitting
all.
There. He's like, I'm not registering any of this. I can't hear shit in this octopus paper.
I don't think he could have. So I reckon Richard Curtis would have been sitting and just being like, say it. Say it now. Richard Curtis, we should quickly talk. We should go into the pantry.
Yeah, let's go to the pantry.
Sure.
The butler in a pantry with a mic.
Actually.
The butler's pantry.
The butler's actually. Richard Curtis. Do you want to talk about Richard Curtis? This is his first directing film.
He's only done 2 others. Do you know what they are?
No.
One that you showed me that's come up.
Debbie Does Dallas.
Yes.
What?
Yep. And then Dallas Gets Revenge.
Yes.
Yeah. No. The Boat That Rocked.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never seen that before. You showed it to me when I was like 16, probably.
What?
I came around to your place up in Ravenswood. And we had to put something on to distract from the gunshots. And then About Time.
Which is a lot of people's favorite
movie. I really don't like that movie.
About Time.
Bill Nye, one of the Weasley kids.
Domhnall Gleeson. And it's Rachel McAdams. Margot Robbie in a very early role.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen this, but I've had plenty of
The Magic Time Traveling Cupboard or something.
Right. I think that there's a scene in that movie that I am like, if you could have sex with Margot Robbie once and then reverse time so you didn't do it and then you go and marry your girlfriend, I think that's okay. Personally, that's my take. So that movie, everyone... a huge part of that movie hinges on him not doing that. And I was just like, well, you should. I'm sorry, but you should. You should go and have sex with Margot Robbie. Dumb. Anyway, I don't like that movie very much. That's not the only reason, I want to be clear.
So Richard Curtis.
Richard Curtis.
Okay, well, so Love Actually, questionable, very successful. Boat That Rocked, I think is hilarious.
I like the Boat That Rocked.
Such a good movie.
I should watch it again. I haven't seen it in years.
Also a great cast.
Great cast. Stacked cast.
Philip Seymour Hoffman fucking kills it in that movie. Reese Ifans.
Reese Ifans is the star.
Reese Ifans and also, Philip Seymour Hoffman hating each
other. Wait, who's the Reese Nichols? Who's the New Zealand Reese?
Yeah, I know. Reese Darby.
Reese Darby.
Chris O'Dowd.
How about this one then, eh?
Yeah.
You're gonna fuck your way out of this one.
Chris O'Dowd or Chris Dowd?
Chris O'Dowd.
Chris O'Dowd. Yeah. January Jones again, who's also in Love Actually, and she's in The Boat That Rocked.
She's awful in that, as in such a bad person. She's so mean.
She's like, you'll be able to and listen then, to me and him having sex.
And then Chris O'Dowd does that. Good cry.
Yes. That's a good movie. I haven't seen it in years, but I should watch it again.
Anyway,
I think he was a huge staple of Curtis. British television in the 80s and 90s, right?
Yes.
He did Blackadder. He did Vicar of Dibley. Mm. He did a whole bunch of stuff. And then
all the Red Nose Day specials.
The Red Nose Day specials. Yeah, he's just won the Gene Herschelt Humanitarian Award at the Governor's Ball. So he's won the honorary Oscar for his contributions to like humanitarian causes through the Red Nose stuff. He actually got he presented to him by Hugh Grant in a very funny speech where Hugh Grant's essentially like, this man tried to prevent my career from happening. He didn't want me in Four Weddings and a Funeral. Well, suck it, asshole. I was in it and here's your Oscar. Would we call it an Oscar? It's a sort of Oscar, you know, very funny.
Right. Very British.
Very British. But yeah, then he does Four Weddings and he does Bridget Jones.
Notting Hill.
Blah, 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 Notting Hill. He's the definitive British rom-com writer, you know? I think that you can kind of have a little bit of a bristle against his, you know, sometimes it feels like you're wearing a hair shirt where you're like,
he wrote the screenplay for Yesterday, you know, that where everyone forgets the Beatles exist. That's
one of those movies that everyone at least once as a teenager must have had the like, God, imagine if Oasis disappeared and I wrote all their songs. Or imagine if
You would have written one good song.
Brutal. But then everyone goes, yeah, that would be fun. Probably not a good story, though. And Richard Curtis is like, fucking
better.
Where
does it go?
I haven't seen it. Apparently goes nowhere. But he is an interesting figure within the cultural conversation of rom-coms and British film and whatnot. It is undeniable that this movie is him pulling out all the stops, using his very sweary and very, like...
crass sort of language.
Crass, but eloquent and charming. Yes. Yep. I mean, I can only imagine this movie for American audiences when it so came charming. Out and they're like, oh, it's a Christmas rom-com, right, let's take the kids. And Bill Nye, the first 3 minutes, is like, oh, shit, bugger, fuck, bum, asshole, dick, head and hole. And everyone's like, whoa.
You added a few extra.
I added a few, but he just puts everything in there.
Really embellished.
Puts everything in that hole.
In that hole. And just that is, of course, consistent with Bridget Jones and whatnot. The one thing I want to say that I found really funny watching this time that I hadn't remembered.
Tommy's really taken the back end of this episode.
It's so funny that Hugh Grant gets up and's like, I know that we've had international relations with America for a long time now, but I think that is to stop because we should not be bullied and we should not be put down because this man was cracking on to my secretary and I didn't like that. So no more special relationship. We're essentially at war with the United States. And everyone's like, yeah! And it's like, bad idea, guys. Don't do it.
We can't trade with
Billy
the US
Bob's
anymore.
Just sitting there like, we have so many nukes, bro. Like,
sharpen your bayonets. We're going to war. Yes.
We already beat you. Like,
we don't have any guns in this country.
Yeah.
Yes.
All the knives.
Again, it's more unrealistic than his dance. So that's good. All right, who's MVP?
This will be tough.
Big question. I don't know.
Big question.
The big question is it Emma Thompson? It has to be.
So you've planted the seed and I kind of can't. I have to go with it.
I think it's Emma Thompson.
I think it's Emma Thompson because this is the reason why I'm giving this film such a high score.
Or Hugh Grant.
Otherwise it's lower.
If she's not in it. Yeah.
To be honest, it's Emma Thompson. Sorry.
It's probably Bill Nye.
Ooh,
because when I think about Love Actually, he's the first thing that comes to mind.
Interesting.
What I think about is that it's been 50 minutes and no one's done it.
It'd be easy to say Hugh Grant, Bill Nighy, or Emma Thompson for Love Actually.
It's a trifecta. Yeah. One's M, one's V, one's P, for sure.
For sure. That's absolutely how you connect them.
That's
sure.
how you get it. So, I like his, who do you have to shag to get a Tina Biscuit round here? And then she walks and he's like, ooh. Right. Very funny. Mm. I don't know. It's a good movie, right? Like,
yeah, people hate this movie. With a grain of salt and just.
You say like, people hate this movie.
People hate this movie.
And it's like,
oh,
we were saying,
see that? I haven't encountered online, these people.
Yeah. It is vehemently despised.
It's like, because of the fat shaming and because the women have no agency, which, yes, are problems, but it's also like, it's a movie from 2003 and the dialogue's charming. So like,
I think people always also
I don't think we're in a place to really
have I won anyone with my tone argument?
Yes, you have.
Go on.
I gave it an 8, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember. It's been hours. 7.2.
You're going below me.
All right.
Yeah.
You're going to leave
I'm going
to
below you.
Tom?
7.5.
You're staying.
Sticking with it. But I do appreciate
Marcus, you coming
your
up?
No, I'm staying.
No, I thought so. I had to.
You didn't get me
We've
there,
had
guys.
Enough time.
It's all stuff I've heard before.
You've got to yank it over.
No
a bit
original
harder.
Thoughts here, guys.
As
no, of course
saying,
not.
This
no.
and Elf no. are the what only modern Christmas staples. Very weird. There are no others.
No other Christmas staples. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Wait, is Mean Girls a Christmas movie?
Oh yeah, baby, it is tonight. Let's talk Christmas all of the time.
Thanks for listening to Throwing the Pow.
I feel it in my finger. All right.
If you really love Christmas.
Email us, throwingthepow@gmail.com.